Welcome to the Seattle Mariners Baseball Podcast.
Diving stop, Seager. Toss on a hop to first. In time to get seven.
Three-run homer, Robinson Cano off the lefty specialist, Fernando Abad. And the Mariners lead it 5-4.
Goodbye, baseball. Straight away, center field. Cano and Cruz go back to back.
And the king, when the Mariners needed him the most, two hits over seven. Scoreless innings.
Now, here's your host, Gary Hill.
Welcome back, Seattle Mariners Baseball Podcast. Thanks for being here as the Mariners fall to the Kansas City Royals last night, swept aside by KC. That was a tough one last night. Now the Mariners, there's four games left until the All-Star break. Trying to get something together before the break, a little momentum before the break. The A's come in for four. Talk about that in a second, but it's not a good start last night as KC jumped all over the M's. Miranda coughs up four in the first, but the Mariners would charge back as they would stack up some offense. Two in the first, three in the second, one in the third.
Jason Vargas delivers a swing and a high fly ball deep to straightaway left field. Going and going. Goodbye, baseball. Into the Royals bullpen, Mike Zunino jumping on the first pitch from Jason Vargas. Leading off the bottom of the second, his 12th home run of the season. And now it's a one-run ball game. It's now the Royals 4 and the Mariners 3 on Mike Zunino's 12th home run of the year. Here's the pitch of the way, swinging a high fly ball into center field, drifting back, racing back, warning track, Kane, he is there, but it's gone. Straight away center field, goodbye baseball. Gene, the hitting machine, Segura. A home run, straightaway center field. Lorenzo Cain flat running out of room. He got to the top of the wall. But Segura with a two-run home run right up the middle with Dyson aboard. And the Mariners now have the lead 5-4 over Kansas City. And they turn this around in a hurry. Segura with his sixth home run of the season. How about that?
The 1-1 to Cruz. Swing, muscled, thumped, and crushed, and the drought has come to an end. Nelson Cruz absolutely obliterates that pitch from Jason Vargas. It has been over a month, 24 games since Nelson Cruz last teed off, and he has extended the Mariners' lead. It is 6-4, the third home run today already against Jason Vargas.
So at that point, the M's led 6-4, and they were doing it against Jason Vargas, who has had a tremendous year this year, an all-star. They push his ERA up to 2.62 with six earned runs in five innings of work. But that was it for the offense for the day. No more add-on the rest of the day. The M's didn't score past the third inning. KC would put two on the board in the fifth. They would tie it up. Both starters supposed to be somewhat of a pitcher's duel, and it ended up being a slugfest, especially early. It was 6-6. The bullpens took over. It was scoreless going into extra innings, going into the 10th, and that's when KC would take the lead that they would keep.
Swing and a high lift out to right field. This is trouble. Haniger is on the track. He leaps, and it's gone. Opposite field blast by Salvador Perez, his 17th of the season. It was hammered. It comes in the 10th inning, and the Royals have now taken an 8-6 lead.
Three on the board in the 10th, and Kansas City wins 9-6. They sweep aside the Mariners.
Yeah, I think, you know, there was a lot in that ballgame. I thought, Miranda, giving up the four spot in the first inning. You know, he's been so good, made a couple mistakes there. And, you know, they put a big number up against us. I thought a great effort by our guys to get right back in the game. I thought we responded, you know, the right way there. And swung the bats, you know, something we hadn't been scoring many runs here at home lately. So, you know, nice to get back into the game and then eventually, you know, get back on top. And Kane hit the big home run off Miranda again to tie it up. And, you know, after that, I thought, for the most part, our bullpen did a good job to keep him in check. It was going to come down to, you know, getting a big hit, and I thought off of Zanino's bat there in the ninth inning that was the big hit, but you know, it's baseball. But I think, you know, on the positive side, we did swing the bats much better tonight, and coming back in that game, been easy to shut it down, but our guys didn't do that. We got after it and had the lead there, you know, for a little bit. So you know, it's a critical point in our season right now. You know, it really is. We haven't played well here over the last 10 days or so. We have struggled, and we got to get it turned around, moving in the right direction here, headed into the All-Star break. So, you know, again, there was some good signs tonight, but, you know, didn't get it done in the end, and we needed to have that ball game tonight, and we just didn't get the big hit when we needed it. Well, I mean, you know, Vargas is having a great year. We were on him early. He made a little adjustments there. Their bullpen, you know, threw the ball well. We had one, I think we had a rally going in the seventh inning, a couple guys on. We hit into double play ball. You know, it wasn't a lot, but that's kind of how those games, you know, a little bit early, you got to find a way, you know, to scratch out a run or just keep constant pressure on them. And you know, they kept more pressure on us than obviously we put on them tonight. He was, which is what he did last time out. You know, he started to go, you know, to some of the slower stuff, you know, the split and the slider early in the game. He didn't have a feel for it tonight like he did last time out. Got in some fastball counts. You know, Hosmer hit the double. And then, you know, Moustakas, who's really, really hot right now. We saw that in the last three games and made some mistakes to those guys. But, you know, to Miranda's credit, I thought he really, he got after it after that inning. Knew he had to somehow find it. And he did. You know, he got us to a decent point in the game. You know, that the two-out homer again that Kane put up in the fifth was a big hit. You know, we get through the fifth, we're probably going to our bullpen there with a two-run lead. But, you know, we didn't quite get there.
You've said, you know, Nelly can put him up in bunches. He gets the one tonight. He almost gets another one.
Yeah. Again, game of inches. You know, that's probably 6 inches to a foot from that's another home run tonight. But it was great to see him get one out of the ballpark tonight. He can do that. He is, you know, he's streaky, and they will come in bunches for him. But, you know, you can see he's struggling to, you know, hobbling around on the field. But, you know, he is a gamer. He wants in, and we certainly, you know, love his bat, you know, being up in our lineup. So hopefully it continues to get better with the knee, just day to day with that.
What would you see in the top?
You know, Pazos, I mean, we get the, you know, we had the air early. You know, you're putting Pazos in a situation. You know, their left-handed hitters have been so hot for them. You know, what Hosmer and Moustakas has done, I thought Pazos was the right guy to go to. And, you know, we just to get it done. He made a mistake to Salvi Perez, put a good swing on it, opposite field home run. You know, if you're going to make him hit a homer, you know, you want him to go to the big part of the park. And, you know, just got a ball too much on the plate there. So, you know, I don't, you know, Pazos is going to go after you. That's who he is. You know, you got to tip your hat to Salvi on that one. Put a good swing on it, and we didn't get the ball right where we wanted it.
Your bats have been a little streaky, but Segura kind of one guy that's just been.
Yeah, Gene had a good night again tonight, you know, with the home run to center field. And, you know, he has been consistent. That's what he does. You know, he finds a way to get the barrel on the ball and, you know, gives you a good at-bat, you know, almost every time up there.
And KC playing some great baseball right now. Kansas City, they have won four in a row, and right now they hold the second wild card. And now just half game back of the Yankees, who have lost a couple in a row. So, you know, we've talked about the second wild card this whole time, but the Yankees have been pulled back to the pack. But the Mariners now looking up at several teams now with three losses in a row and now four games below 500, which is why these next four are pretty important, because you have the Yankees a half game up on Kansas City. Kansas City at 44-40. They hold the second wild card. They're 7-3 in their past 10. Twins lost last night. They're a game back. Tampa lost last night. They're a game back. You have the Angels, who won a game below 500 at 44-45, 2.5. Texas 3.5 back. They were winners, 41-44. Now the Mariners 4 back at 41-45. And Baltimore 40-44. They've lost 3 in a row. They're 4 back as well. So still, I mean, things change so rapidly in this thing. You win 4, you lose 4. It changes everything dramatically. Right now, the Mariners could use that 4-game winning streak as they'll take on the Oakland A's today. So a 4-game series with Oakland. Mariners are going to send Gavilio to the hill. He's been really good all year, consistently giving the Mariners a chance to win time in and time out. Paul Blackburn will get the start for the Oakland A's. Only his second major league start. In his first went 6 innings, allowed 3 hits, just 1 run, was not earned. Very talented. Only gave up 3 hits in that one. So the Mariners will see a starter they have not seen before. And in fact, not many have seen before. First-round pick of the Cubs in 2012. His start came against Atlanta on July 1st. So Blackburn getting the call against Gavilio in game one of this series tonight. We'll talk about all the rest of the how the weekend looks coming up in the podcast tomorrow. So right now we're going to reminisce with a former Mariner, Paul Sorrento, former first baseman for the Mariners, now assistant hitting coach for the Angels. He tells some good stories, particularly about Lou Piniella, as most players who played for Lou Piniella, they have a good Lou Piniella story, and he's got one. You spent 2 years in a Mariners uniform, 96-97, a playoff appearance and some records set offensively. You played on some big offensive clubs. What are your memories about playing for the Seattle Mariners?
Well, I think just that. I think I look back on the lineup that we had. It was pretty good. Two great years there. Loved my teammates there. Two really good teams. Like you said, we scored a lot of runs, but bunch of good characters there, too, on those teams. Lou as a manager leading the way. He was fun to play for, but Jay and Griff and Edgar. Really fun teams to play on.
Rick Riss told me, if you didn't bring it up, to ask you about the home run in Texas. He talks about that as a legend. Tell me about the home run in Texas.
Well, it's funny because it was off one of my best friends, Kenny Hill. And Rick always tells the story that, you know, once I hit it, he lost track of it. And he talks it up pretty good, so tell him to keep talking it up. But it was just one of those home runs that, you know, got a good piece of it, and Texas was a good hitting park. So I guess it went a pretty good ways. But tell him to keep talking about it, though. He's making me look good for sure.
I think it goes longer every year, too, which is good.
Exactly. Tell him to keep going. Yeah, I love it.
You mentioned Edgar, obviously, in the other dugout as the hitting coach, and his vote for a Hall of Fame continues to increase. What was it like watching him as a hitter on a day-to-day basis?
Well, it was really fun. You know, he's really one of those guys that could carry a team for a long time, and he was a great teammate. But I think the one thing that stands out the most is probably just him being so consistent and hitting the ball hard. Mm-hmm. You know, we talk about it now as exit velo. You know, I'd have liked to have seen his back in the day because it was line drive after line drive, you know, and just the way he went about his business, very professional. And there's no doubt that he should be in the Hall of Fame. I think it's time to kind of open those gates up for those guys that kind of settled into more of a DH role later on in their career. But I think there's a spot in the Hall for sure.
You had a couple of really productive seasons, what, over 50 home runs in 2 years. What was it about being in Seattle that brought out all that production?
Yeah, I think, like you said, it was just I was in a great lineup. I really enjoyed Lee Elia was our hitting coach. I learned a lot from Lee. To this day, I still teach a lot of the things he told me. So, obviously, Lou was there as well, who was a real good hitting guy. But I think just being in that lineup, there was always a lot of opportunities. You had guys sitting in front of you and behind you. And playing in the Kingdom didn't help either. You know, obviously, great hitting park. So that helped a lot, too.
You mentioned Lou. Do you have a good Lou story that you can tell?
I was facing Darren Oliver, left-handed pitcher for Texas. And first at bat, I think I got to like a 2-0 count. Throws me a fastball and just shatters my bat in like 15 places. I come in from the field and I start throwing stuff around and threw my helmet. And he came up to me after. He said, "Hey, don't worry about it. It's not your fault. It's my fault for putting you in there first place." I kind of got a laugh out of that. It didn't help at the time, but I think that's one of the things that kind of sticks out with Lou. He was he kind of knew what to say at the right time, but I guess that sticks out to me.
And finally, we mentioned Edgar in the Hall of Fame. Griffey, of course, going in the Hall of Fame, teammates with him for a couple of years. What is it like being a teammate with him on a daily basis?
Oh, it was great. Kenny would give you the shirt off his back. Very good teammate. Worked extremely hard. But just going out and watching him play every night just made the game look so easy. although it wasn't, you know, I know how much time he put in and how much work he put in, but just on an every night basis watching him hit, I mean, I think I was there for his MVP season. And it was, he just put up like video game numbers. It was 320 and like 50 and like 150, you know. So just to watch him play every night was just awesome. You know, you didn't realize it, I guess, as a player, how you're in the presence of greatness, you know, or a guy that comes around him once every 25 years, you know. So it's been a lot of fun playing with him.
How much have you enjoyed coaching?
It's been great. You know, it's something that kind of took some time off when I retired, raised the kids. And as they got older, kind of more independent, you tend to miss the game. And Angels gave me an opportunity to kind of get back into it, and it's been a lot of fun. Obviously, it's baseball, so it's been frustrating at times. But, you know, just for me personally, just being able to watch Albert and, you know, on an everyday basis has been great. You know, Hall of Famer in his own right. And, you know, watching one of the youngest, you know, greatest stars in the game, and Mike. So that's been really, it's been a great experience for me. But I've enjoyed it.
Chance
so
to visit
far,
with
yeah.
Mariners trainer Rob Nodine.
Thank you so
Rob,
much for the time. Thanks for sharing
you do a
some
great
fun
job
stories.
With this ball
yeah,
club, along
Thank
with
you.
Rick Griffin and Matty Toth and all the people trying to keep these guys healthy throughout the course of the year. How did you get started in this business?
Well, I first went to school at UNLV, and I knew that I had always wanted to do something in the health field. At first, I went to physical therapy school and into the sports medicine track. But then I took a class in athletic training with one of my friends and realized that that was more to my liking. I got to work with athletes, and they're motivated, and I was outdoors. So that was a big plus for me. That was my first introduction into athletic training.
Athletic training, sports medicine, you can go into any sport, basketball, football, why baseball?
It was interesting. I had really never followed baseball until I got into athletic training. Then I worked with the UNLV baseball team while I was there. And then I got an opportunity, actually my junior year, to go to the Oakland A's and interview for one of their jobs. I subsequently turned that down because I had a job in Battle Mountain, Nevada as a wildland firefighter during the summer.
Really?
So I did that instead, and then I got another opportunity after I graduated in December of 92 to come work for the Mariners in Riverside, California. So that's where I got my first introduction into baseball, and it's been a passion of mine since. I really enjoy the sport of baseball, being outdoors, and the guys are great, and just working with them every day.
Spent time in the minor leagues. How did you get here?
Well, I spent 14 years in the minor leagues, all with the Mariners. I've only been with the Seattle Mariners for 25 years now. My first year, like I said, was in Riverside, California, in the California League, and worked my way up through A-ball, Double-A Texas League, and the Eastern League, and the Southern League as well. And then went to Tacoma in 2001 and started there. Came up here in 2007.
Visiting with Mariners trainer Rob Nodine here on Rick's Tips. What's the best part of the job for you?
The camaraderie with the guys. I really, really enjoy working with them, trying to keep them on the field to play at their optimal level. I enjoy the organization, especially the people I work with on a day-to-day basis. I think that that's my passion. I enjoy working with people.
What's a typical day like for a trainer at the big league level?
Unfortunately, it's busier this year than we have all liked. So I think our main focus is preparing the guys to get them on the field on a daily basis to be able to perform at their optimal level. It's been a challenge this year with all of the injuries that we've had, and working with Matt and Rick to get our rehab players back to where they can help out the team as well. We were constantly looking at our programs and looking at the players to make sure that we are giving them every opportunity to be out on the field.
Tell me a little bit about how do these guys get ready day in and day out? Because this is a marathon, 162-game schedule. You have spring training, the off season. These guys try to stay in the best shape they possibly can. What's it like for a position player compared to a pitcher on a daily basis?
position players, they're playing every day. They have their routines that they go through, and I think a lot of it is about consistency and staying with their programs that ensures that they're healthy. And that's the same thing with us in the athletic training room. For the position players, we're monitoring their lower bodies and their arms and their core as well. And with our performance staff, James Clifford and Chad Eline, we all work together and communicate to make sure that we're keeping in tune with the players and make sure that we don't miss anything. As far as the pitchers, our starting pitchers are on a 5-day rotation to where their programming goes through between each start. And there's quite a bit of difference between the position players and the pitchers, but everybody's on a program. Everybody has their exercises that they do, and we just keep them consistent throughout the whole season.
Rob, a young man, young lady, wants to get into this business. What's the best advice to try to get to this level?
Education. Education is a huge thing. Obviously, that's where everything starts. You have to have a passion for it, and you have to have a desire. If you don't like spending hours working with guys, and it's a job that is behind the scenes, and that's where it should be. You have to be diligent and thorough and thoughtful. These guys are first and foremost people too, and they are the everything to our organization. So everything that you do is have to be focused on the person and the player and taking care of them and putting them before you.
Rob, I know you, Rick, and Maddie, and everybody in this medical business here in Seattle are as good as anybody, the best in the business. Thanks a lot for being our guest here on Rick's Tips. Appreciate it.
My pleasure. I appreciate the opportunity.
All right.